If you have an influence over your youthful friend, you better exert it now. Otherwise, I will have both of you row off to the hell where people are skinned alive. It's that simple, understand?
Are you crazy? Is that your problem?
You think you got any thug in you?
Mugs, pugs, thugs. Nitwits, halfwits, dimwits.
We're not intimidated by thugs.
But Bud White is a valuable officer.
White's a mindless thug.
Thug means never having to say you're sorry.
It's essentially those people who will say, you know, studies show. Really? What studies? What particular studies? Because I just turned in, by the way, last night, I turned in a 30-page research paper about fucking adolescent literacy.
Wow.
I know a bunch of that shit. And you know what I don't get to say in the middle of a research paper?
Motherfucker?
Oh, no. I said that like five times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You can't say, studies have shown.
No, you can't.
Like, you have to say, in, you know, Clarkson Campbell's 1998 study for blah, 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 he found this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. He studied, like, you basically, if I were willing to say, okay, well, this person ran a, he ran an experiment with a single high school where he analyzed the facts of the case with da, 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 then yes, that, but I can't say, you know, studies have shown that literacy out loud, da, da, or name somebody. Experts agree. Which experts? And why are they expert? What do they fucking know?
Look, Jim, you can say that now because there are consensus of people that have said you can.
Right. Right.
So it's get
just
with it.
A bunch of jackanapes howling about shit all the time.
Jackanapes.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Jim. He's Clarkson. We're the Film Thugs. Welcome to it.
And we're with the Desolation of Smear. Oh, my God.
So Samwell's wiener goes.
I'm never going to get rid of that.
No, as well you shouldn't. So I was reading some stories, and this actually what led me to the idea what we were talking about there. Phoenix, Arizona. Okay, there's two stories here. The war on Christmas story.
Oh, yes, yeah. The eternal war on Christmas.
Yes, yes. Phoenix, Arizona. A Salvation Army bell ringer claims she was assaulted by a woman for saying,
Merry Christmas.
Happy Holidays. She said, Happy Holidays. The woman said, I thought she was going to put money in the kettle. And she walked up to me and said, Do you believe in God? And then she says, You're supposed to say Merry Christmas and then hit me.
What?
Yeah. She's like called the cops on her and shit like that. But it's like, yeah, called the cops for assault on this broad. Hmm. And it's like, it goes along with this other story that fits. Pause. Hold on a sec. Now that all that unpleasantness
sons
is out
bitches.
Of the way, goddamn.
So someone got hit for saying happy holidays.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's one worth a German / Swiss woman decorated her house with Krampus.
Ah.
Yes. She's German and Swiss, said she saw the display as a way to educate her community on the origins of familiar Christmas traditions like St. Nicholas and the Yuletide treat. Mm-hmm. Here is a quote from some woman who asked not to be identified. I was appalled that the city of Murrieta would allow someone to enter a home with a theme representing the devil. Because she's entered in some decoration contest. My three-year-old was frightened by the home, and I was disgusted. I'm asking that you help make this disrespectful issue known to the residents of Murrieta. First off, this has fucking nothing to do with you. Nothing to fucking do with you.
Correct.
This is like happy holidays. It's not a fucking personal insult. It's nothing to goddamn do with you. Second, to quote Louis C.K., fucking talk to you. It's your fucking kid. Talk to him. It's not my fault you have to talk to your shitty kid. Talk to your fucking child and say, actually, that's the blah, 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 blah. Explain some shit. But no, we can't talk to our child. Everything is about me and everything has to be done for me.
Mm.
I'm soft and gooey and everything. I hate goddamn
my
people.
My 3-year-old
so much.
Was terrified by all the Krampi about. The house.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That we were being marched into at gunpoint.
It was fucking lousy with Krampus. Krampi, yeah. Krampi is the best way. It fucking infuriates me. Mind your goddamn business. Mind your own fucking business.
You're really going to have to mind your business when I have a home, because they're going to be crumpus aplenty.
Yeah. Crumpanions.
Crumpanions everywhere. Yeah.
Just calm down. Step back and say, you know what? They think about that person as much as they thought about you when they did this, which is to say, don't.
Correct.
It's not about you. God damn it. It's not. Fuck. I am a guy.
This is true. I can vouch for this.
Yes. Who for near 4 years has sat down with his best friend and recorded ourselves bullshitting and put it out for the world to consume. And I think it's egotistical to get hung up over that. I think that you think a little fucking highly of yourself.
It's a bit much.
To give you an idea of the people who are listening.
Website and have stickers made.
Yeah. The people who are listening, to give you an idea. I assume someone's listening to me right now. That's how goddamn ego
fueled. At least one other person is listening to us.
Yes. At least. Minimum of one.
One person.
Yeah.
I know for a fact. Two.
Yes. Phil and
Benjamin.
Ben. Yes. Phil and Ben, without question, are listening to everything. There's a handful of others you do, but we know without fail, Phil and Ben. And
more than likely, Phil Olson.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, but let's also not forget. I mean, there's folks who, Chad is listening. we also get. I mean, there are folks that we
stinking
get.
Stinking Paws guys.
Yeah, the Stinking Paws guys are listening. There's folks paying attention. Forgive us if we've forgotten.
Other of our podcast brothers, Derek.
Derek is listening. Fucking adorable Donnie is listening. I mean, there's no question. But it just. I think you're being egotistical, and I'm somebody who pays for the world to listen to me.
Yes. Well, that's where we're at.
God damn, I hate people. You know what we need more of? Fucking The Rock style toughening up. There is a vine of him doing shrugs at the gym, and by my estimation, he's doing 175 pounds on each arm. Shrugs.
Yep.
VJ, when I told him I can do like 75 pound shrugs for like, you know, I can just sit there and rattle off like 35 or 40 of them. He was like, God damn.
Well, yeah, VJ, you mean. Yeah.
Damn. But anyway.
I mean, you're short, man.
Yeah. 85 pounds is, that's an impressive amount to be able to do shrugs.
Sure.
Yeah. 175 per, so just
that's a lot.
350 pound shrugs.
Oh, that's
three goddamn hundred.
Amazing. So can you believe how much I am in heaven? I'm like getting the feeling of coming in the gym. I'm getting the feeling of coming at home. I'm getting the feeling of coming backstage when I pump up, when I bose out in front of 5,000 people. I get the same feeling. So I'm coming day and night.
Right, Dwayne?
Feels like a third cop.
That's a good marriage,
I mean,
right there.
It's terrific, right?
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby!
But yeah, seeing that was... Oh. Now, here's a question I have. This is totally apropos of fucking nothing other than I wrote it down.
Okay.
Where the fuck can I get a Reuben sandwich in Austin? Katz's and Manhattan's are gone.
Yeah, Manhattan's finally went down, huh?
There's some place on 52nd Street that apparently has it. And here's the thing. I don't want a fucking... Here's a deconstruction of it. I don't want a fucking take. Oh, this is my own Southwestern take on a Reuben.
It's a Reuben cake pup.
Yeah. Or somebody who's like, well, what I did was I used the multigrain 7-layer bread with...
made a cracker out of it.
Yeah.
A rye cracker.
See, I'm...
And I made a pastrami foam. Yeah. And I pumped it out of my ass onto a plate for $17.50.
The only thing that I want that's, you know, like, I will, when I get the grill that I can cook a pizza on, I'm going to figure out how to make a rye pizza crust, and I'm going to do a crazy stacked Reuben pizza. I think that sounds awesome, but it's going to be all the same ingredients. I don't like, I looked when Erica, my ex, she was allergic to rye, but she liked Reubens. So she would go and do a fucking Manhattan's and say, I'd like a Reuben on white bread or on wheat bread. And I almost fucking vomited in my mouth because that sounds repellent to me.
It's missing a key ingredient.
Yeah. That rye bread. Fucking, it really pulls the room together.
It really does.
Yeah, you can't. If you're not able to eat it that way, then I'm sorry. I don't believe you should be allowed to eat a Reuben, or don't call it a Reuben. Say I'd like a, you know, fucking, I'd like a corned beef sandwich on white bread with it. Don't fucking call it a Reuben.
Yeah, don't do that.
But yet, some I made an aioli infusion with blood. Like,
no.
Shut the fuck up.
I don't care.
Damn it. There are occasions when I want something that's kind of new and different. That's an original thing.
Not when you want a Reuben sandwich.
Yeah, not a Reuben. Don't fuck with my pizza.
No.
Don't, you know, I don't want fucking white truffle oil on my pizza. You know what? Let me tell you exactly what I want on my pizza.
Meat.
If I order a pizza, I want pepperoni. I want sausage. I want either meatballs or ground beef, and I want extra cheese. I want that fucking texture when you get that big, perfect ball of cheese and meat and the crust, where you have to use two hands to eat it because it's so oily that it just flops down like you know, if the pizza's right. Not just like
just like flapping out
foom, like just horse dong, like, right. Oh, look at me.
Never eating pizza again.
Nope. And then you get that amazing mouthful where it's just the taste is second to the way it feels. You're like, oh my God, this is perfection. That's what I want in a pizza. I don't want fucking, oh, this is a marzipan inspired. Like, yeah, this has fucking artisan mushrooms on it. Cool.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Take it back.
What?
Take it back.
Take what back?
No, take the pizza
back. Oh, take the pizza back.
Not I was like, said. What did I say? What the
fuck? Are you lampooning me, jerks?
It's just one of those things. There are a handful of deals that you don't fuck with. Yeah, when I was a kid, I'd eat, like, if all we had were hot dog buns and I wanted a peanut butter and jelly, I'd make a peanut butter and jelly on a hot dog bun. Now sure. I'm like, no, that's no.
Well, you're a kid. You can do that.
Yeah. No, give me traditional shit. It's
going to be a munchitation situation.
Yes, exactly. Also, I might have noticed the most screamingly obvious piece of symbolism from The Walking Dead. I might be reading it into it. It's so fucking obvious and cloying that I might be making this up.
Okay.
What character from in that prison would you define as being the guardian angel? Everything will be okay if only blank shows up.
He does have the wings.
Yeah. Daryl, the fucking wings. And I was like, he's got angel wings and he's, God damn it. Like I said, it's so thang.
I have a revelation.
I need to have that on my phone too. We need to be able to just do dueling. Thang. But it's just too obvious.
Yeah, such a badass with those little fluffy angel wings.
We also have... Shia LaBeouf got busted for plagiarizing.
Okay.
And I'm going to read the, let's see here. Oh, God. Here we go. Poets don't anger anymore. Poets don't gamble. Here they don't assassinate poets. Here they don't notice them. That was from this thing Shia LaBeouf did.
Okay.
Bukowski's. In America, the poets never anger anyone. The poets don't gamble. The poetry has the smell of clinics. The poetry has the smell of clinics where people die rather than live. Here they don't assassinate poets. They don't even notice the poets. Yeah, sorry. That's el plagiarismo.
Yeah.
Motherfucker. So before we get into Peter O'Toole, I've got a letter.
Ha! Damn.
Yes, I'm for the purposes of this, it is a handwritten letter that was sent via post and arrived today.
Written in calligraphy.
Calligraphy, yes. Beautiful calligraphy. Oldie English calligraphy. Oldie. Yes. Hi, thugs. This is Adam from the UK. I've not emailed. Why would he write emailed in here when it's obviously a parchment mail? Remember the chicken horse size question, of course. Anyway, the other week you mentioned that you're always open to show ideas. Here's two. I'm going to show the ideas and then a question that he has. One, you always talk about current TV shows, Breaking Bad, Walking Dead, Sons of Anarchy, etc. What are your views on older shows like Lost, 24, Rescue Me, X-Files, etc.? And he says, for me, the first three seasons of Lost was the best TV has ever gotten. Granted, it went down the tubes after that. Wonder what are your views on older shows? That's an interesting one. That's not enough for a full show, but that's something we can discuss right here. So let's talk. Lost, I stopped watching 4 episodes into season 2.
Okay.
Because I was watching it as it aired. Mm-hmm. And I looked at it as, okay, this is a fucking question that's never going to be answered. It's a promise that they can't keep. This is a check that is insufficient funds. Because if you were watching it at the time, every week was... let me see if I can get a... No, I'm not going to fuck with sound effects. Next week on Lost, all your questions will
be answered.
Nope, never. And so I just stopped. I got tired of it. It's a very cool idea, but it suffers from Abrams syndrome, which is a great first act, no second act, because they're always going back and rewriting the first act. They're changing the basic situation. They're altering the structure. There might be a second act somewhat, but he always goes back to first act so that when it comes time to resolve shit, there's not really any way to do it.
Not really. Just kind of there.
Yeah. Yeah. So you kind of have to tag shit on.
And that's just from watching each other stuff, because I haven't watched one hot second of Lost.
Yeah. It's the first season's pretty cool, but not you can that I tell they don't know where they're going. Just, yeah.
No.
24 is one of those weird shows where it's like the first season is fantastic, and then there's one a couple seasons later that's outstanding, but it just was so inconsistent.
Am I wrong about this 48 thing? Is it from the same creators of...
I don't know. I have no idea what it is.
You could see where I would...
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That.
Totally. Totally.
Ed Norton's in it.
Okay.
From what it looks like Ed Norton. Sounds like Ed Norton.
Oh, but
must
brother,
be Norton.
It ain't...
I don't know. The promos are very short. Yeah. There's been like some guy getting thrown at the guy that I believe to be Norton being thrown to a trunk, and then that's it. It says 48 coming this fall.
Yeah, that does... I think that is Norton.
Yeah.
I think that is. The thing is like... Old, slightly older shows of the Rescue Me, like, I never watched X-Files. I've seen maybe like 5 episodes total of the X-Files.
That I watched all of.
Right. I've actually gone back and watched like the first 3 episodes on Hulu, and it's so goddamn 90s.
Yes, it is.
Like, Duchovny's yes, 8 years old in it.
Yes, he is.
That hair and all that. Yes. Gillian Anderson looks like she's ready for some football. Those goddamn shoulder pads. What the shit?
Her shoulders get smaller and she gets a lot more zhuzhy as the show progresses.
Yeah. I like. The thing is, those shows were like the transition. I think, honestly, right now we are in very much a golden age of television.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of shit, but the stuff that's good is so good that it is degrees of magnitude better than everything else.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, when you've got, you know, one network running Mad Men and Breaking Bad and The Killing at the same time, yeah, that's fucking outstanding.
Yeah.
The Killing got picked up again by Netflix. You know, when you've
that
got...
That show will not die.
No, it won't. And it shouldn't, because this season really kicked it up to the next fucking level. And the problem was they were still trying to hold... The first 2 seasons should have been 1 season.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't answer the who killed the girl question at the end of the first season. That came at the end of the second season.
Okay.
And so it just felt too played out. And by the end, you didn't give a fuck. Because it literally was 2 seasons that covered like maybe 3 weeks. So it was just a little too drawn out.
Right.
Second season is fucking great. The entire episode that followed the guy on the day of his execution up to the fucking last drop was amazing.
Cool.
But I think, yes, there is a lot of shit, but that just comes from the fact that there's a lot more television.
Yes, there is.
You know, you've got a million channels that are trying to fill with content all the time.
1,000 more ways of accessing your content.
Yeah.
So people have to raise the stakes and raise the quality.
Yeah.
Because people now, because of shows that have raised the bar, like Breaking Bad, like The Killing, like name them.
Yeah.
Sons of Anarchy, whatever you want to pick.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've raised that bar, now everyone's expecting, well, you can put some out. You better be worth a shit. Even the sitcoms are better. How I Met Your Mother and Big Bang Theory are just fucking funnier. And I didn't start watching those until I watched them with my wife. They're better.
Big Bang Theory is starting to lose me because I genuinely don't care about the characters anymore. But How I Met Your Mother right now, this season, I think is absolute genius.
Yeah.
Because the entire season is covering like 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the way they're layering it and giving callbacks and connecting, I fucking love it.
Thank you, Linus.
Yeah. Thank you, Linus. That's fantastic. There's a lot of garbage out, but the stuff that's good. And these are the shows that he's talking about in there that really, I think, transitioned it.
Yeah. There were, in those times, say like X-Files, those were coming on right after football on Sundays.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was a hot goddamn ticket.
Oh, yeah.
And it was still, it was the last gasp of appointment television.
Yes.
There really was. Mm-hmm. Those shows.
Yeah.
Not just X-Files.
Mm-hmm.
But shows like that that were really hot at the time.
Right.
Friends, for the people that like Friends.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of thing.
What's weird is when you look back at it, the change from straight episodic to somewhat serialized is pretty significant. Like, Cheers was one of the first ones that really started pulling some serialized elements into it. they didn't nail it all the time because that show was episodic as hell.
Yes.
Like, I watched over the parts where Coach died, and he was gone for a good, like, month or so before it was even mentioned on the show. And it was mentioned... Sorry, I'm paranoid, so I always double-check to make sure the recorder's running. It is. We're good. It was mentioned when Woody came in, and he was like, oh, boy, I'm here to meet Ernie Pantusa. Oh, he died. Oh, I was his pen pal. You exchanged letters? No, pens. I remember that. Mm-hmm. But it hadn't been mentioned, and that was kind of it.
Yeah.
And it's odd to me. Now that would be a plot point. That would be his death would be... have an episode dedicated entirely to how they dealt with it.
Yeah.
And then it would be sort of felt as the new person came in to kind of quote unquote take his place. But if you look at so much shit that was coming out around then, not calling it shit, but there wasn't much that was really serialized.
No. X-Files was one of the few that at the time that would do that.
Yeah.
It would start drawing you into the story. That's why people, there'd be an argument between the X-Files fans. Mm-hmm. I like the episodic stuff more than the art stuff. And of course for myself anyway, love the arc because I want to know more and more and more about where things are going. Yeah. And that what really got the Seventh Heaven hooks in people's mouths.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Gotcha.
Wow, that thrust just really did it. Here's the thing, though. It's like that transition was such an experiment at the time because whoever thought of, oh, no, we're going to have a backstory that'll get revealed and there will be episodic ones that have these things.
Whole story about the cigarette-smoking man.
Yeah.
Whole episode.
And you know what's great about him? That he started out as just a guy in a room. He was named the cigarette smoking man because he was smoking a cigarette in the scene. And it literally, that is the equivalent of turning, hey, it's Enrico Palazzo into a fucking running character. It's great.
Yeah.
But I enjoy the combination of it. I like episodic a little bit.
I like it just fine. But when it depends on the subject matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you have things like that. When they hint it so much, when Chris Carter says, well, look at this.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, motherfucker, you better deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just tell me some big bad's coming and don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes. See, I like it when there's a blend of it with my sitcoms.
Sure.
You know, I need that flow between them where I want to be able to watch some that are totally episodic, but I want to know what's going somewhere.
Yeah, Buffy did it a lot. And a lot of times the episodic stuff was perfect.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all just the how it's executed. Yeah. But really with television in general, I think, like, you know, you look back on it and it's funny how you don't realize how dated most of the shit we watch is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because we normally watch it in the now and rarely go back and look at it later. Now that's becoming more and more prevalent just because the technology is available and you can sit down and watch every episode of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah. Think of all the things that could have gone right for Frank Black in Millennium if he'd not had just that fucking pager.
Yeah. Yeah.
Later on, he got a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
This giant cell phone.
The big old Zach Morris brick cell phone.
But,
and
It's very dated.
Yeah.
Stories are still good. That helps.
Yeah. And that's really what it comes down to. And the problem was when you were dealing with episodic, it was meant for sort of... Here's how I'll look at it. Watching MST3K, Hope and I were talking about this last night, I've never been a fan of the skits.
No, not generally, no.
And part of the issue is, it's because you had people who were really good at writing quick gags, suddenly having to come up with something that always felt very slapped together, very like, oh, afterthought, we have to have this. That's what a lot of sitcom shit was. Like, we got to put the jokes in, and then what's happening is sort of irrelevant, which is why you get those things that are tropes. Like, oh, we're trapped in an elevator. They're getting married. Like, you had these things that had these tentpole moments that happened across the board in them. And I like that we're getting away from that, but it fascinates me to look back on it and see, you know, Friends, as cool as it was and as into it, you watch that shit now, you're like, why is everybody wearing vests? Why is the hair so fucking elevated? What the shit, you know? Gillian Anderson, why do you look like a goddamn football player?
Because I am, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Dead on, Gillian.
I did get paid for that.
Nice. Nice.
Make
a paper, y'alls. But, It's one of those things where I think right now is definitely the best time, but there's so much good shit out there. And to me, like, Rescue Me, he asked specifically about that. I like it and I don't, because there was a bit in the middle where it got a little too soap opera-y and it lost what the real focus of it was. And it came back to it. It always came back to it, but then it just, you know, and his son dies, and his uncle does this, and
rescue me from all these spinning plates.
Exactly.
It's actually the name of the working script, because it started off like, things are moving along quite nicely. By third season, it was... Was it Jesus?
Yeah. Yeah, it just, you hit a point where you're trying too hard. And that's unfortunately what happens at a certain point with a lot of shows, is that they've exhausted what it's really about. Like Californication.
Oh, boy.
Huge fan of Californication for a while. And then, like, you know, there was some groupie that he hooks up with in the most recent season. And there's this whole, like, she's dressed as a Catholic schoolgirl, and the rock star in the dream sequence, or, you know, the rock star is on the cross as Jesus and pulls himself down and she gives him a lap dance. It's like, to quote Dennis Miller, "I'm not shocked, honey. I'm bored."
Yeah.
And that's the problem, is it's like, it went from being very sharp and very sexy and all that to, this.
Yeah, how I stopped watching after the Rick Springfield.
Yeah, there was only one great line from that, when, you know, Rick Springfield was playing himself as a drugged out of control, over the edge shit, and he says he's like, "You think I shit a pint of blood this morning?" And David Duchovny goes, "Why?" And then later, Runkle, they're about to leave, he's like, "This, and we need to see a doctor for you, because you shouldn't be shitting that much blood." But yeah, it does. It hits a point where shows start becoming desperate for what they started out as.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, a show like Breaking Bad, we're done at this point. We're done. Because they never got a chance to fall into self-parody. They never got a chance to lose what made it what it is.
They're going to throw a long dart out and say, "We're going to stop here." Mm-hmm. Or at least to get an idea of it within the first few episodes.
Yeah.
And then they can work backwards.
Yeah.
Not everybody writes that way.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly television didn't write that way.
Right.
But they decided to take a way that many novelists use and just put it in and say, "Well, here we'll work backwards."
Yeah, because
sometimes things didn't go the way they went because it was a surprise.
Yeah.
And that was fine. But at least they knew this shit's going to end at some point.
Yeah, but because Gilligan would approach it, we would break the season, then break the episodes. Mm-hmm. And then people would go and write the individuals. And I think what's missing with a lot of the other stuff is they never saw where the season was going.
Right.
And so that became difficult. But yeah, I think that answers his question.
I hope so.
Yeah. That's what I'm down with. Here's a show that they threw out that could be interesting. Affleck and Damon. The Highs, the Lows, and Gigli.
I like it.
Yeah. It's like both have had ups and downs, but are still about whilst other actors have faded. Do you think it's because of one's doing well, the other is still in people's minds? That could be an episode. We pin that. Talk about that later. And now here's a question that I like. If you could star in any movie, in any role, and that would just go into production tomorrow and would be the exact same as the original, however, the original would be erased from the world's memories, what role would you pick and why? For instance, you could star as Rocky Balboa and it would be the same cast at the same age as the original, but in current times, but none of the sequels would exist and it wouldn't be a franchise. It would disappear. For me, I would almost want to do, Sullivan's Travel's too good. Like, what movie would I be willing to give up in order to get it?
Cool Rider from Grease 2.
So you'd want to do Grease 2. Honestly, what I would like to do is go Smokey and the Bandit 2. But set it today. I would alter it too much. My problem is I would want to alter it, because the main thing I would want to alter for Smokey and the Bandit 2 is make Paul Williams Big Ennis and you and I as his sons.
Okay.
Little Big Ennis.
I like it.
Yeah. He'd be Big Little Ennis. We'd be Little Big Ennis.
Right.
And I think that could be hilarious. Yes, but the problem is any movie that I'd want to remake, even if I loved it, I'd want to alter it and shit like that. I'd want to go in and, you know, make it fit us.
Take out the elephant, for example.
Yes. Personal. And
have somebody more exciting than Don Williams.
And fucking tell them that the capital of Texas is not goddamn Dallas.
Barbaric.
Yes. But, you know, hey, that's yeah, blah, blah,
really
blah.
Isn't
no, it's not, sorry, but that's my difficult, because, like, personally,
it's Houston,
I would want to do Face in the Crowd. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
So Face in the Crowd is my shit. Okay, why would you choose whatever role, salary, great writing, career launch? Also, I know you're a couple of big guys, so we'll excuse this if you could say you could play Danny DeVito in Twins. But I think it could be a really interesting ones. Let's see. Oh, hold on.
I would have a list of films.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting show.
Mm-hmm. That we should totally do that. We should do What Would We Remake? And I like what he says. Like, I thought you... let's see here. When is the new podcast starting?
I thought
you should do one since I heard your views on education, parenting, and a variety of other topics on the Oliver Stone show. Here's the thing. We're probably... That is going to wait until we move and live closer to each other. Because right now, we live on opposite sides of Austin.
Yeah.
And even though Austin's not that big, I mean, really, we live 25 miles apart.
Yes. But 25 miles of Austin apart.
Yes, 25 miles of Austin, which is, goddamn, I'm trying to
You really
to
have
of
to
parallel.
Gird your loins for battle to fuck around with the traffic in this town
at
non-specific times of the day.
Yeah, it's...
I'm not scared of dying, and I don't really care.
At 4 o'clock?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, it's a fucking nightmare at that point. Unless you know ways around. But even then, like, seriously, my 15-mile drive can take anywhere from 20 minutes to 2 hours.
Yep.
Just depending.
Yeah.
I do. Back when I had the undiagnosed sleep apnea, I had to switch from driving on the highway, MOPAC.
Mm-hmm.
You know why it's called MOPAC?
No.
It runs parallel to the Missouri Pacific Railroad. MOPAC.
Makes sense.
And it's called Loop 1 because it used to be a self-contained loop. Down here where we exit for your place, you used to spin it around and kick back up.
Nope,
not anymore. Yeah, that's why it's fucking Loop 1. What the shit?
I think you don't know what shapes are, Austin.
Yeah. I used to fall asleep, like doze off, parked on the freeway driving home.
Oh, yeah.
Because with the apnea, you fucking fall asleep anywhere. Mm. And so I had to drive up Lamar so that I could force myself to stay awake. But when we live closer to one another, then, you know, when it is a 5-minute drive or a 10-minute drive at the worst case.
Or a 2-minute walk. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? I'm leaning more towards the 2-minute walk area, but.
I want 2-minute walk, possibly 4-minute golf cart ride.
Yes, that I'd be down with. That is happening. Mm-hmm. So when that happens, we'll all be good. The recording will become a much more regular occurrence.
Yeah, maybe 5 miles.
Yeah.
Equal number five.
Shameless, but I can't play it.
But we'll be down to where, at that point, we'll be able to do 2 shows a week almost.
Yeah.
Just because why the fuck wouldn't we do 2 shows a week? So it's coming, but realize right now it's more the logistics of...
It may not even be named that by the time.
Yeah, who knows? Who fucking knows? The way I'll describe it, you live in London. It's the equivalent of going... And because this is the only analogy I have for the British. It is, we live the equivalent distance in terms of just pain in the ass commute of going from Russell Square to Heathrow.
Mm.
So there. It takes a while. It's a bit of a pain. And the reason that we're able to record the way we do is because I happen to work like 6 miles from here.
Yeah. It's almost as far to fucking Mordor.
Yeah.
Mordor of the Nine Fingers and the Ring of Doom.
I'm never going to let this smoke thing go.
Smaug.
Imagine having to drive from the Mountain of Smaug all the way past the Misty Mountain. That's how far it is.
It is. It's quite the trek, sir.
Quite the trek to the gates of Sirhungal.
Past the desolation of Smaug. But it's coming. It's going to happen. We guarantee it.
Yes.
So that's what's happening there. So in a roundabout way, that is to say, we're talking about Peter O'Toole this week.
We are.
Yeah. I gotta say, that was a fucking good start. I'm gonna fucking pat myself on the back. I'm just gonna come right out and say, yep.
Bitch, you not a hobbit, right?
How are you?
Bitch, how you not the hobbit again?
Your house isn't haunted. You're lonely.
So there. All right. Peter O'Toole has my favorite goddamn quote, and Peter O'Toole has stated now unequivocally my theory, my philosophy, and what I love most in life.
Okay.
I can't stand light. I hate weather. My idea of heaven is moving from one smoke-filled room to another. That is perfect.
Okay.
That fucking sums it, that about sums it up for me.
Nice. Nice. Not thrilling, but nice.
I don't go out during the day.
No.
I don't like going out during the day. But I'll go out to fucking bars all night. I like that. Well, I used to. Now it's like, whoa, it's late.
Yeah.
I'm going to combine this not going out with not going out during the day with a little not going out at night.
Not going out too late. Mm.
And if I go out at night, I'm going over to a friend's house normally.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But anyway.
There. Yes. Normally it's VJ's because that boy loves to throw parties.
He sure does.
Yeah. And actually, when we move, pinballs will be a regular occurrence.
Well, so much closer.
Yes. And. Well, it'll be closer for you. It'll actually be farther for me because I live about 3 miles from it right now.
Oh, yeah.
3 Austin miles. Also, what I'm going to do, and I think you're going to like this, I'm going to get a couple of remote control cars and I'm going to mount the fucking GoPro on it. And it is just going to be chasing dogs.
I love it.
Yes, have some.
Fucking with dogs. And I definitely want a little fat potato dog. That's all I know.
There's
like
one.
That one. Yeah, but not that one. Not that one.
Don't want you.
All right. So let's discuss Orenz himself.
All right.
And what better? First off, all that you have to say about Peter O'Toole, the first goddamn movie he was in was Lawrence of Arabia.
So there.
Yes. That
what
is
have his, you done with your life?
Yeah, that is the introducing. And it does say that introducing Peter O'Toole. Goddamn. Like, so you, we are still fairly recent from you having seen it for the first time. That was like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
How do we discuss? Because everything that gets talked about, we talk about the grandiosity and all that, but rarely does O'Toole's performance by itself get discussed.
Well, I believe it was O'Toole himself who said you couldn't find anyone less like T.E. Lawrence than myself,
mm-hmm.
or most unlike T.E. Lawrence.
Yes, yeah.
And he asked, I believe he said the director said was looking for someone who could act it rather than be it.
Yes, uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
brother,
yeah,
you did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Lawrence, O'Toole is, he is... You almost have to mention Richard Harris and Richard Burton in connection to Peter O'Toole.
Oh, yeah.
He is in that list. It is him, Richard Harris, Richard Burton, and Oliver Reed are my four I want to go drinking with.
Oh,
guys.
Yeah.
I want to go drinking with those guys.
That's the movie I want to be in.
Oh, God,
one.
Yes. A night drinking with...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ow.
I didn't even know what we'd call it, but goddamn, it would be a night.
I don't give a fuck how sleepy I would get.
Yeah.
I would find illegal ways to stay up. I don't give a fuck.
I'd be eating sandwiches left and right just so I don't fucking vomit my stomach
inside
out.
I will vomit.
Yeah. Oh, I'll vomit. I just don't want to. I want there to be something there to vomit because that's how much drinking is going to be happening.
And Oliver Reed
are going
to fist fight and then fall in love.
Yeah.
It's going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, awesome.
I am all kind of nobody coming at me for me. All those who get over to me, listen here. You know, the rain by full nightfall of Chia. I swear, by day I forswear.
Oh, yeah, Borton, well, fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking drunk.
Yeah. Goddamn, they're so good at that, though. I told the story that both Burton, no, not Burton, both Harris and O'Toole independently told on night shows. If I have, I'm going to tell it again. And I forget who was who in this story, but we're just going to go with Richard Harris telling it. And he says they were going to play together in West End London, you know, and there was like a 20-minute period where neither one of them were on stage. And so what they do is they go out the back door of the theater, down the alley to a pub across the street and just drink.
Yeah.
And then we're out there, they're drinking once, and the door flies open, and it's the stage manager just saying, someone screwed up, jumped ahead a couple of pages, which that happens in plays all the time. Someone screws up, and so we've jumped ahead a couple of pages. There has been silence on the stage for like 3 minutes. You guys got to get over here now. They run out. They run down the alley, and it's one of those things where Harris enters, and then Peter O'Toole walks out right after him, and they run. They get there, and Richard Harris enters. I trip and I slide off the stage into the lap of this woman in the front row. And she goes, oh, my God, Richard Harris is drunk.
And I looked up and I said, if you think I'm drunk, wait until O'Toole gets on stage. I don't know if it's true. I don't fucking care if it's true. In my mind, it's fucking true. Because O'Toole was that guy. T.E. Lawrence was not.
No.
T.E. Lawrence was an awkward, quiet, contemplative guy who, he likes your lemonade.
Yeah.
He just wants, he wants to do his thing.
Yeah.
And be. O'Toole wants to fucking just, yeah, let's drink and fucking do some shit. Harris, come on.
Yeah.
There were people that were saying, apparently Richard Harris's family really wanted O'Toole to take over as Dumbledore after he died.
Here's my thinking, and we won't be going in any kind of order here with O'Toole's career.
Oh, fuck no.
He's done so much stuff, yeah, and I've seen a lot of it, and I haven't seen some of it.
Most of it I haven't seen, yeah. So, yeah.
You have to be careful. Now, Richard Harris and O'Toole aren't one better than the other.
No,
Richard Harris is a fucking monster.
Yes. An actor. Oh, God, yeah. He was a fucking beast. His son is a beast, too.
Yes, he is. Harris was a bit much in Harry Potter already, but he was surrounded by other, whoa, that's a lot of acting power too. So it kind of balanced things out and gave the, you know, the faculty all A1 motherfuckers. So it felt, that's a technical term.
Yes. A1 A1 motherfuckers. I know.
It's a UK thing.
You learned that from Jay Jennings,
States,
right?
Understand. Yes. Yeah. When I had my feather. So it kind of evened things out.
Yeah.
And maybe O'Toole would have been just fine.
Right.
But you don't use O'Toole in Troy.
Ooh,
because,
no.
Boy, oh boy,
yeah,
does it look like a fucking one-act play until, it's fine until he shows up, and then it looks like a one-act play.
Yeah.
And of course, he's not even, he's just,
he's phoning it in. He's phoning it in. Dialed that shit, but, yeah.
I swear to God, if he had laser beam eyes, Orlando Bloom would be on fire. Granted, he's playing a character no one likes.
Yeah.
It's a wimpy little pain in the ass.
Uh-huh.
Basically kept the war going for far longer than they should have.
Yeah.
But, oh, man. I'm telling you, there was contempt in those.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Watery, gin-soaked 3 o'clock in the afternoon eyes.
Yeah.
I'm telling him.
Uh-huh.
Or whatever it was.
Oh, God, he's the fucking man, yeah. That I haven't seen it, because...
it's a...
What?
I mean, that's with Brian Cox in it.
Yeah.
Who's another bad motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, A1 motherfucker.
A1 motherfucker.
But, yeah.
See,
gotta be careful.
Yeah. O'Toole's got... See, I don't think O'Toole would have been a good choice for Dumbledore at all. I think Gambon was the right way to go, because O'Toole just doesn't... He doesn't have that vibe. Richard Harris, you throw the beard on Richard Harris, it's like, yes, I fucking see that. O'Toole, I can't even picture O'Toole with the necessary beard. It would feel odd. Speaking of Richard Harris, I got to give Mad Men. Jared Harris popped up on Mad Men for a while, and there was an episode where he and Don Draper were alone, like on Christmas or something, so they're trying to figure out what to do, and they're looking for a movie to go to. And they're like, looking, well, this is playing on fancy. And it cuts to them watching Godzilla in the theater. And they're both obviously drunk. Because first line out of Jared Harris's mouth, this is a good movie. Obviously, Aaron. And just the delivery of it is like, wow, that is the most authentic drunk delivery I've ever heard. This is a good movie. But yeah, O'Toole just... He doesn't feel the right vibe.
No.
O'Toole has always felt younger than he was to me. Even when he's an old man, he never felt like he was old, you know?
I don't know. I guess it was the way he carried himself.
Yeah.
I don't really know. But I agree with you.
Yeah. He had that very... Well, it was because his eyes were always so open and like...
Yeah.
I'm taking all of this in. He never got the older... Oh, yes, I've seen things before. He kind of...
He looked like he was still up for it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
All the way to the end. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And having the unique experience of watching all of the stuff with him in it.
Yeah.
And then seeing Lawrence for the first time was normally you'd be able to look back and see the stitches.
Right.
Like, I see where this.
Mm-hmm.
No.
With this, it was just fucking seamless.
I'm coming out swinging.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to stay here.
And that's the beauty of it is how right off the bat, that is literally. A dude throwing haymakers right off the bat, but they happened to land. It wasn't a good way to put it. He wasn't throwing haymakers. Do you remember when Mike Tyson was in his prime?
Yes.
And he was like,
terrifying.
Knocked a guy out with a chest punch just fucking 2 minutes into the first round. Just you remember when he was getting like 20-second knockout? His junior Olympics was junior Olympics or junior Goodwill Games. Mm-hmm. And his knockout in the first fight he had was 8 seconds.
God.
Eight. You wouldn't even get credit for riding a fucking bull at the rodeo with 8 seconds. And Mike Tyson took you out. It wasn't that he threw haymakers. It's that every shot he threw was perfectly designed and executed with absolute power so that it wasn't a haymaker, but might as well have been. That was O'Toole.
Yeah.
Everything he did was so well thought out, well executed, all of that, that he might as well have just been closing his eyes and swinging as hard as he could because it was going to have that kind of power, except he was able to be focused enough to land the shot.
Yeah.
I think that I might have just had a good metaphor there.
Not bad.
Yes. Now, Beckett, I didn't see all of, but I loved what I saw because, man, you want to talk about nailing that idea of the king who views you as a fucking thing.
That would be the one.
Yeah. I mean, because that, like, when they found that girl out in the forest, and it's like, it has this. It deliver her to my place. Like, holy shit.
What's that?
Yeah, and it's not, and what's weird is you think, no, that's not really exaggerating for a lot of king, for a lot of the royals back in those days. Like,
and
I like her
bringer.
Wouldn't
have shocked anyone in that society.
No, Well, of course that's what you do.
Yeah.
I mean, even before that, they come across this house that is obviously lived in and just go in and help ourselves to whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's what wouldn't you do.
I? Yeah. I'm the fucking king.
I am anointed of God.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Yeah. I'm going to have your soup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You evidently forgot that you're living on my land. So
there.
Yeah. Barbaric.
But to nail that, to absolutely land that and not just I fucking hate you is difficult to do. It's very difficult to do, but he nailed it and made it work. So good on you, sir. Oddly enough, for my ego, I have not seen Lord Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like need a
huge poster in your bathroom.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Actually, I was getting out of my head. I was going to say, I need to get a fucking giant poster of that. Just have it in the guest bathroom.
I would.
Yeah, right above the toilet.
Yes.
And then opposite the toilet, have a mirror. So even if you're, even if you're deucing it, you've got me just judging you.
Yeah, that's right. Lord. All the time.
But no, I haven't seen it. I couldn't get through What's New Pussycat because it was just a little too...
it's very... let's film this while doing everything that we can to our own minds.
It was shot in 1965.
So there you go.
Couldn't be more 1965 if it was Baby New Year 1965. They had a fucking sash on that said, this is... You know, we were talking about fucking shoulder pads and shit like that. No, this is... Everything in it. It's all psychedelic and shit.
Yeah, man.
And you know, I'm a big Burt Bacharach fan. I do not care for the song What's New Pussycat. It's okay, but it's not even in the conversation for me.
It drove my, and as far as I know, still does, my friend Sam's last nerve in
really?
The ground was What's New Pussycat.
Mm-hmm.
Makes him crazy. Crazy.
And what I hate is it's one that most people know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to hear something badass, you've got to look up the Manfred Mann version of Little Red Book. It's kind of fucking badass.
Awesome.
Because it's that sort of old school, you know, I'm going to pull shit up because I can. I'm going to find this just, oh shit, I forgot. Of course, I don't have the goddamn Wi-Fi password in. Something happened with my phone. I lost it, but I'll get on your shit. Never mind. Not a big deal.
No, you sure?
I'm sure.
You sure you want to hear that song?
I'm sure.
I'll hear another one.
God.
Just filling time.
Yeah. Hey, nothing wrong with that. It's what we do. But no, like, What's a New Pussycat is just one that's so of that. It's early Woody Allen, so it kind of had that vibe of, you know, What's Up, Tiger Lily.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, this is very clever and very... So, yes, there's What's New Pussycat.
Like later on with Casino Royale.
Casino Royale.
Man!
Oh, goodness. See, I had an idea with Stingemaka. We ought to make Casino Royale with a bunch of people in it.
I think that's delightful.
Makes absolutely no sense.
A delightful romp.
Many people will enjoy themselves. Wonderful.
Indubitably.
I have not seen it.
It is a goofy-ass movie.
It looks wacky as motherfuck.
Are you embarrassed easily? I am. But it's nothing to worry about. It's all part of growing up and being British.
Tis.
It's one that, like, I've been half tempted at points to watch, but never enough to fucking pull the trigger on it, you know?
I want to say that I don't think I even finished it.
Yeah.
Came on a couple of times late night on TCM, you know, the Saturday night weirdo thing after the horror stuff is over. I don't think I even finished it.
It just
wackiness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wacky 60s laugh-in drug-fueled weirdness.
It seems as though it's like fade in, wackiness ensues.
Yeah.
That's the screenplay.
Pretty much.
That's it. Isn't Raquel Welch just, in it looking
yeah,
hot?
Yeah, just cigarette smoke billowing out of the writer's room.
Yeah.
Writers. Delightful. Room,
yeah. How quaint. Yeah. Such an interesting concept. But I have seen How to Steal a Million with him and Audrey Hepburn, I believe.
I haven't seen that.
He came out right and said, I worshipped Katharine Hepburn. He thought she was just the bee's knees, as well you should. But it's a heist movie that really very, very tense, but very cool. Got that kind of, I mean, it's fucking Peter O'Toole and Audrey Hepburn. It's got that.
Should work.
That's what you need to know. It's got that vibe to it. It's very much those two guys in it. But quite enjoyable. Quite enjoyable. It's one that I think you should see. It's one of the better heist films.
Yeah, I think that's one that Nicole's been harping on.
Yeah, oh, you'd love it. You'd love it. I mean, there's, because it's very realistic and very high tech for 1966, which is to say, duh.
All the technology had wood paneling on it.
Yeah, it's all wood paneling, like just clubs, you know, like everything had lights and dials.
Yeah.
Because, yes.
Excellent.
You know what kills me? I can't believe I'm going to have to say this out loud. Never seen Lion in Winter. I know. And it's one that evidently is good.
It's very good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's him and Hepburn.
It's very good.
And apparently both of them just decided to bring their A game to every fucking day of shooting that.
I need to see that again. I haven't seen that since high school.
See, the reason I never saw it is because I had an acting professor my freshman year of college who would always use that as like, oh, you know, freshman, you don't want to go too big. You don't want to try and do a Lion in Winter for your and it was like his go-to. So I get a point where just, oh, yeah, I don't care about that.
I understand. Yeah. It's like fucking Forrest Gump.
No.
I don't want to see that, Jay. Okay? I don't want to see it anymore.
So find your feather.
Got it. Fine.
I think really what you meant to say was, Jay, oh, hold on. God damn it. What? Fuck you, thumbprint. What you meant was...
Fine. Just shut the fuck up for one damn fucking second in your fucking life.
That was me in movement class.
Yes. Oh, God. I've been to movement classes with this man. I was there when we had to walk across the stage in different manners. There were literally that. You want to know what happens in acting school? Now, walk across the stage as if you were a matador. Okay, now walk back across the stage. But this time, you're a little boy who's lost his mom and you're scared.
Now walk across the stage as if me and David Mamet are going to hit you in the face with a hot shovel.
Hot shovel's great.
Hot shovel's good.
It's fucking where it's at, man. So that's a big deal there. That's acting school. It's walk across or fucking vocal warm-ups.
You are wasting my parents' money.
Yeah. Do you remember?
Vocal coach? No.
No, vocal coaching. No, I'm talking about, you know, when you, you know, strawberries, get your fresh strawberries. I like to eat 8 apples and bananas. A lake to eat 8 apples and bananas. Elake to eat. And then you do that with every vowel. And it makes me just want to kill somebody. Because, yeah, definitely does. It sounds like, oh my God, he's gone Grand Mal. What the fuck are we going to do? That is great. That is fucking great. Evidently, Goodbye, Mr. Chips is one that as a teacher I need to see because it's in these lists of just like amazing teacher movies.
I haven't seen it. Is it about snack foods?
If only. Mm. No, it's about computers.
Ew.
No, it's not. He plays a guy named Arthur Chippington.
Ah.
I believe it's Arthur. Yeah, Arthur Chipping. No, Arthur Chipping. Sorry, the only way they could make the name more British is if it was Arthur Chippington from Sauce and Fiddle. West Sauce and Fiddle.
Yes.
On Tyne.
It's so funny.
I love adding that. We are Austin on Colorado.
Yes, we are. Yes. The Babylon on Colorado.
Yes. But yeah, that's apparently one that I need to see because it's a good teacher movie.
I hadn't seen any of this shit until The Ruling Class, which I have seen.
I don't remember The Ruling Class.
It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah?
Or the...
That's the one where he's crazy and thinks he's God,
that's
right?
That's the one.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, I need to watch
really,
that.
Really, really funny.
Right. Yes, definitely. Definitely.
And he's having a fabulous time.
That's how it should be, man.
The entire time.
I gotta say, I loved his fucking Man of La Mancha.
Oh, man, where everything looks like wood cutting?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Whew.
Well, just because it was, you know, he gets thrown in jail for blasphemy and how... It looked like fucking jail. And wasn't, wasn't Sophia Loren, didn't she play Aldonza in that?
Maybe. I can't remember.
Just remember whoever played Aldonza was easy on the eyes, if you know what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying.
Oh, man. It's Boors Go.
That was the song.
Yep. Go, it's Boors Go. It's that banana that sells it for me.
That's why I kept it in there.
Yeah, you know me. You know me, baby. But yes, that Man of La Mancha was great. It's because that's one that, you know, when you find out the story on it, it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. And that was one of my Christmas Eve movies. Back when I was a kid, when we came back from Panama, I used to want to pass Christmas Eve as much as possible. I just want to get past Christmas Eve day. Get to Christmas. And so we'd go like down to Sound Warehouse.
Whoa. Hey,
oh, I know.
So Samuel's wiener goes dark.
We'd go down to Sound Warehouse and I'd get like three or four movies and literally just lay on the couch, watch movies all day because that was the quickest way to pass time.
Sure.
And this was one that I picked for that. And it was fucking, I was in middle school, probably sixth or seventh grade.
Wow.
So yeah, because I was one of those that really early got into. Apparently this is a movie people say is good, so I'm gonna hunt that down and
that's
watch that
weird
shit.
That you mentioned that, because I was thinking today, why the fuck, well, for a lot of reasons you're probably asking yourselves out there, why the fuck is that jagoff even doing a film podcast? He's watched five movies and he keeps referencing them over and over again as if it matters.
What the fuck is juice?
What the fuck is juice?
Yeah.
I don't have any movie pedigree whatsoever growing up.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
When I got old enough to go, this is important.
Yes.
I should probably watch The Battle
as you
Ears.
Grew up fucking making a mountain of mashed potatoes, this is important.
This is important. Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
I should
Thank
see you. The Battle of Algiers because I need to.
I should. And I still haven't finished it. Evidently, it's the fucking balls.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty hardcore.
Pretty good.
Good.
It's one of those that, from what I understand, borders on fucking documentary.
Yeah.
It very much. Like, holy shit, on. This is fucking for real. Have you watched Z? It's about Greek, an assassination of a Greek politician. It's really fucking good. But that's one of those that I lump in there with Battle of Algiers because it's very political and a lot of it stuff.
But, yeah. Growing up, there was just, well, go see whatever dad wanted to see.
Yeah.
Thank God they were usually fun movies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I had a steady diet of just American fluff.
See, I liked it and then I just got more into it because mine, I think, comes from where most people who get really into film comes from. It was, you had, you know, things like Friends and Shit to Do.
Meat drapes.
Yes, you had meat drapes.
It feels like a third cop.
I felt, I didn't have Friends. I just didn't. No, sorry. I was not a popular kid growing up because there were no kids who lived around me to fucking.
I'm so lonely. Yeah. So lonely and sad, real Rome.
Yes, yes.
I've been aching to use that one for so long.
Boom, man. I provided you the platform. My pain. No, seriously, I just didn't. But I'm also somebody who looks at my childhood as like, it was a phase.
Right.
Like, I'm enjoying life now. Who gives a fuck about back then?
Exactly.
But it was like what I had.
It's terrific.
It is terrific. Oh, and boy, I did. The other thing, too. Oh, I did. but no, I just, it was what I really got into. And so it became vital. It became the way that I connected with people. Right. So it went on to the illogical extreme of pissing away money on a goddamn college degree for trivia. So it could be really helpful when we go to Pluckers Trivia Nights and they have the, what movie was this? My So yes, that's where I am with that shit. So.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, what's weird though, even given all of that, I have not seen any movie on this list. I've not seen a single Peter Sellers, Peter O'Toole movie between 1972 and 1980.
Vaguely remember Caligula.
Yeah, I have
Caligula.
Not. Caligula, yeah. I haven't seen Rosebud, Man Friday, Far Side of Paradise, Rogue Mail, Power Play, Zulu Don.
My favorite year.
Oh, Will, yeah. But Caligula, evidently, does Helen Mirren like get her gear off in that? I think everyone gets their gear off in that. But, you know, that's a young Helen Mirren.
Was produced by the guys from Hustler, or Playboy, or Penthouse. It was
probably Guccione because he made he produced like that Zeffirelli Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I'll check it out because Helen Mirren today Helen Mirren looks fucking tight. Mm. Back then Helen Mirren was like, "What? Hey, baby, how you doing?" But we both have seen The Stuntman.
We have.
Yes, it is. That's a fucking cool movie.
Yes,
because it is that weirdness of how. I like it when movies about making movies go into how they take making movies a little too fucking seriously.
Absolutely.
Because there is a ridiculousness to it where people working on the film, essentially it is, no, if we don't do this now, the world is going to end. And everything else is just this secondary track. Nobody fucking cares about anything else. And even down to this movie takes it to where, you know, the stuntman is this guy trying to kill me.
Yes.
Is he going to let me die as part of making this film? And O'Toole was just dead on. You could just, and what's great is the director was like, you know, that one day O'Toole came to set dressed identically to the director of the film. Because there's like, you know, you remember you're a director, you're a megalomaniac, you're over the top. And he showed up dressed exactly like him. And the guy's like, that's perfect. That's and didn't catch on that he was wearing the exact same fucking outfit. It's like, that's perfect.
Oh, man.
Gotta love that shit.
Only been around the 2 p.m. drink when he came up with that idea.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get a suit made.
Like, I have an idea. The best fucking Peter O'Toole story I've ever heard. Peter Gallagher, the eyebrows guy.
Yeah.
Was talking about, he was in a movie when he was really young that had Peter O'Toole in it.
Right.
And there was this shot one day where it's like, it was a wide shot that the camera pushed in on. And he's like, I figured out that if I was standing behind a certain point, I wouldn't be in the final shot, which means I wouldn't be needed for the other shots and I would be done early that day.
Right.
So the camera starts and it starts pushing in and I start slowly backing up and I feel this hand on my back. What's that? And I realize it's pulling me. I sit back, I hear in my ear, keep going, dear boy, you've almost made it. And it was Peter O'Toole. And he was like, not only did he get me out of the shot, I spent the rest of the day drinking with Peter O'Toole. I'm like, what?
You win, sir.
Yes. I mean,
think about my family. I'm like,
well, no,
feels like a third cock.
That's it right there. Talk about that.
Speaking of third cocks.
Yes.
I have to issue a correction, and a retraction and correction.
Mm. Go away.
Last week, I said that I quoted Kanye West as saying, I want to be the Obama of fashion.
Did he say he is the Obama?
No, he wants to be the Obama of clothing. My apologies, Señor West.
Think about my family. I'm like, wow, this is like,
thank you.
Like being a police officer.
Wait, no, it's really not.
Like you literally.
You could slip on stage.
Yes, clothing.
Clothing, the Obama
if
of clothing.
If he had only
yes,
said, I want to be the Obama of clothes.
Yeah.
Well, I would have had to go into the hospital.
Yeah.
To remove this laugh bone.
If it had been something, you see, I would like that if it was more specific. I want to be the Obama of shirts.
Yeah. Shirts, not pants. No. That's too obvious. Yes.
I want to be the Obama of shoes or socks.
Yeah.
I want to be the Obama of waistcoats.
Vests. I don't know.
But no, the stuntman, jumping back on there, the stuntman is, It's hard to describe because it's one of those movies that's about sort of not really fucking with perceptions of reality, but sort of the... It's about perspectives.
Yes.
And you can't really fucking tell what's going on with somebody else. It's quite good. It is quite good. Very and I recommend everybody to see it. Much like My Favorite Year, which is, I believe it was written by Woody Allen. I'm not 100%, but it was based off of him as a young man working with Errol Flynn coming on to Best Year Show of Shows. And that is, I'm not an actor. I'm a movie star.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Greatest goddamn line that, as a kid, didn't make sense. Now it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
That there is a world of difference. He plays the most broken down alcoholic ever, where it's like he has a special suit that breaks away so that when he passes out, his personal valet is able to put him in bed. And it's got fucking pockets sewn into it for booze bottles. But just how this absolute chaos of what do you do when you've got an actor who, I mean, he is based on Errol Flynn.
Yes. And apparently they were pretty kind.
Oh, yeah.
Errol Flynn.
Oh, yeah. When you've got somebody at that level that you can't say no to, that you can't criticize because you're lucky that he's there. Mm-hmm. Even if he's old and faded star, you're fucking lucky that he's there. And if he walks, you're in trouble. You don't piss that guy off.
Yeah.
And he happens to be an alcoholic child, which is great, which is just awesome.
It's almost interchangeable with acting.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, that's the problem with acting is like it is a profession that at least in America attracts folks who can't do much else.
Yeah.
And I say this as somebody who's studied acting for a long time.
Yeah.
Most actors can't, we can't do much else. No. I mean, we show up, we stand where we're told, mm-hmm. we say words someone else wrote, and we have a person there to say, no, say it more like this.
Yeah.
And then if you get popular enough, you can throw fucking tantrums and people have to deal with you.
Never got to the tantrum stage.
No, neither did I. Well, you and I don't believe we ever would have gotten to that.
Fuck that.
I knew.
Naturally I wouldn't.
Right.
But now?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you. Where's my goddamn cocktail?
Angel of Death! Angel of Death! Everybody! Bacho! Angel of Death! Angel of Death! Woo! Fuck you, motherfucker! Woo!
I'm in Macbeth!
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. See, like I went to school with folks that would cop the actor trick, trips.
Yeah,
you know, like, people who'd miss entrances mm-hmm. and shit. Like literally, there was a guy who missed a scene for a play that he was in because he was just I'm too good, and then got pissed about it. Like, no, you fucked up. When I was in a play, I never left backstage. I never went anywhere where I couldn't hear what was happening on stage unless I had to for a costume change, which was rare. Because when you're big, there's like three parts you can play.
Yeah.
You can play fucking Oberon, Bill Sykes.
Don't do it, Bill.
Lenny. That's it. That's the gamut for big guys in acting these days. So, but yeah. Getting to that point, but then what's weird when you're dealing with him, when you're dealing with somebody like Errol Flynn, it's not just that he can get away with that, it's that the world is the theater that he's that important in.
Yeah.
And everything he does is going to be tolerated, excused, covered up, cleaned up, and made okay.
Yeah.
Fucking nightmare.
We have a lot of money wrapped up in what this guy does.
This fucking guy.
Yeah.
Ugh, God
ain't
damn
it the truth?
Mm-hmm. Got to deal with this shit some more. Fantastic.
I haven't seen any of this TV stuff.
Neither have I. Yeah, neither have I. Svengali.
Blanked out in the whole thing until his turn as Zoltar.
Yes.
In Supergirl.
I have not seen Supergirl since it was new. All I remember is Helen Slater. God damn. Oh, man. She was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
And the flying effects for the time?
Yeah.
Pretty fucking good. Solid.
Talk about a solid fucking that cast.
Yes.
Peter O'Toole, wasn't it Faye Dunaway?
Yes. Okay.
Jesus H, man. I need to see it again, do I?
No.
I don't think it'll.
Maybe.
If I got crazy drunk,
yeah.
Would it be worth a watch?
I think so.
Like, I'm talking like.
Yes.
Like Huistache.
No, not yes. Yes, Huistache drunk.
Yes. Yes.
If that level, and that makes sense to nobody.
Oh, yeah.
Duke and Thomas.
Like that drunk.
Tony, Finley, Bowen, and Parker, the best of the best. 99.03.05.07 champions. Going for number 5.
He's drunk now.
The best of now. The best.
Really.
And that guy is playing Taco Land tonight.
Yes.
Anyone from San Antonio just poured out a little bit of their beverage. A
little bit for Taco
like,
Land.
Oh, Taco Land.
I drove past that the other day. I was like, wait a minute.
Hold
is
on.
Is that Taco Land? Former Taco Land?
I've been to Taco Land once because what most people, even you, don't realize about me and Taco Land, I could not stand up straight in Taco Land.
Makes sense.
The ceiling is about 6 feet 8.5 inches at most.
Damn.
Yeah. Do you remember how low that ceiling
was?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, I couldn't stand up straight in Taco Land.
Didn't you see Henry Thomas's band there?
No, I saw Henry Thomas's band at the coffee house that was right next to the Selena boutique.
Ah.
In the most fucking San Antonio. That is the most San Antonio thing ever said.
Number 5.
I saw Henry Thomas's band, The Rain Dogs, play at Zoe's Coffee House adjacent to the Selena boutique in San Antonio. No, I saw my sister was friends with the guys in Javelin Boot, and I saw them play at Taco Land. Wow. It's so goddamn inside San Antonio. It's fucking
it really
crazy.
Is.
Yeah, some people, and well, nobody who listens to this show has any idea what we're talking about, unless maybe my old roommate Dave listens, because he's feeling like, holy shit, I remember all that stuff. Damn. Let's go get a puffy taco and drink some fucking Pearl beer.
Oh, yes.
Because we get it fresh here, because we're right next to the brewery.
Fresh Pearl beer.
Fresh Pearl beer.
Tastes like regular Pearl beer.
Yeah.
But fresher.
Fresher, yeah. At least it's better than Pearl Light.
We're not animals.
I know. Come now. We're human beings.
Yeah.
I had completely forgotten that he was in Club Paradise. I saw that movie a bunch and didn't understand half of it. All I knew was Robin Williams was in it. So I was like, oh, it must be good. Before I realized, what the fuck was that laugh? before I realized, no, not everything he does is great.
Yeah.
So there. Club Paradise. Sure, why not? Last Emperor I've seen most of. I own the fucking Criterion Blu-ray for it, but I haven't watched it all the way, so I can't really say anything. High Spirits, don't know about that.
Saw a lot of High Spirits.
Yeah.
It was one of those go-to films when I was a kid. They replayed a lot on Showtime.
Right, right.
So it came on a bunch. In fact, it's on my DVR as we speak.
Really?
Yeah.
Spick.
Smog.
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 Casino Royal. I was driving my Jaguar to the casino through the Valley of Smog. Had some kippers on my...
It did. If I don't buy kippers, it will not rain.
Wow.
Yeah. <Nice. clears throat> High Spirits. That is a wacky film and could be a really excellent film if it weren't for the presence of the Goots.
Gutenberg, really?
Gutenberg. Liam Neeson's in it. Beverly D'Angelo's in it.
Oh.
Daryl Hannah. Yeah. And pretty much Peter O'Toole's just
there,
kind of doing his Troy thing. Hello.
Hello. I was told there's a paycheck.
I'm doing, what is it, Ghost? That sounds great.
Oh, that sounds wonderful, dear boy. What I love about him is he always sounds like he just finished running a lap.
It's not quite as bad as Richard Burton. But
oh, no.
There.
Oh, God, Richard Burton. Nowhere near as bad as the
guy. Not Richard Burton.
Fucking Richard Harris.
Richard
Harris always has that. I say
no.
Then.
What's his name?
Fuck. Richard Branson.
No.
Richie Sambora.
Fucking North by Northwest.
Oh, Cary Grant.
No.
James Mason.
Thank you.
Oh.
James Mason's the one who's run 1,000 laps in an iron lung.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what am I doing? Salem's Lot sounds like... you can't stop the master. I need Advair. Oh, man. Yeah, he was supposed to be in Planet of the Apes, but he was too old to be able to deal with the heat and the makeup. Kilt him.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my. How unfortunate. It's a terrible situation you find yourself in, sir. Your very next role.
He sounds like he's passing a stone.
Yes.
Your very next role in a year. Oh, no.
More fiber.
Oh, man.
Poor bastard.
And then, God, to sound like a total prole, between fucking Club Paradise and King Ralph, I haven't seen anything beginning to end.
So, good topic.
Spotted dick? But here's how weird is it? For somebody who's seen as little of his shit, because there's still some more stuff to discuss here. I love this guy, even though I haven't seen dick that he's been. I love him.
Oh, my God. He did 1,000 things on television.
God, yeah. He was all over the telly. But no, King Ralph, there ain't nothing wrong with King Ralph. Spotted dick. Gotta love that shit. But yeah, I'm totally down with that movie. I'll watch it again.
Hitler, The Rise of Evil?
Wow. Hmm. He was in Heaven and Hell, North and South, Book 3?
Apparently.
God damn, that thing was inescapable. In San Antonio, they used to have like open casting calls when they would audition, when they would do that for extras. The only thing better, the greatest, the most hijo espurs moment ever. And I just thought of this because I was there at the time when the Selena movie was being made. They did like an open casting for Selena. There were women who you in your fattest of fat days looked more like Selena than these women did.
So
these
true.
Were like all the women who just came from the fucking Menudo riot at
and
at
I'm Ingram not
Park
talking
Mall.
A band.
No. Oh man, the Menudo riots at Ingram Park Mall. But it was like all of just these big Mexican ladies.
Yes.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh. That's terrible.
It is terrible. It really. But yeah, just this fucking skin tight dresses on you.
Yes, not good.
It's fucking awful.
Are those? What are those?
What's going on?
Stirrup
there?
Pants and a glittery t-shirt tied together with a brooch to the side.
Why are you
delightful?
Why are you dressed like a female Yngwie Malmsteen?
Yes. I think your bangs should go up at least a foot and then claw over.
Oh man, I remember that shit so fucking well, dude. The bangs. Oh.
What the fuck is juice?
Yeah, that was one. Well, dude, I went to, you know where my middle school is. I went to fucking Patnev.
What the fuck is juice?
I went to Patnev Middle School. For anyone who knows the San Antonio, it was 410 at Evers Road on the inside of the loop.
Yeah.
I grew up on the edge, right on the edge of where shit got real. It was like to one direction, it was all like suburban and wonderful. The other direction, it was just like, oh. Yeah, it's going to be scary over there. And so I grew up with that koosh ball and all the koosh ball fucking bangs and the tight dresses with fucking those what are those? Not conchos, the metal. Yeah, conchos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of varying sizes and shapes.
Oh, man, it was terrible. Speaking of this, my sister, God love her, has now thrown at me the best like fast food snack for the no carb diet. She's like, I'll go to Taco Cabana, get a couple of brisket tacos, get a thing of refried, scrape the fucking brisket out of the tacos into the refried and eat that.
It's pretty good.
That's awesome. That's what that is. My sister's a genio. So let's see. Yeah. Joan of Arc. Why is it that I got so into that idea, the espoirs that I looked at? I saw Juan of Arc. And I was like,
really?
Juan of Arc? What? That's where my mind was. Let's see here. God damn, there's so much shit here that I've never even heard. What? The final oh, yes. And then we get to things that people understand here. Troy. Haven't seen it, but I understand. No.
Not as much.
He was in Lassie.
Oh, dear.
He was in Venus, where that was should have been his fucking Oscar, but god damn Forrest Whitaker had to turn into Idi Amin.
He really did. So... what are you going to do?
Yeah, it's one of those where I looked back at the awards that he didn't win.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, this is bullshit. Which I was like, Lawrence of Arabia, he should have won the fucking... What asshole won Best Actor? Gregory Peck, To Kill a... Oh,
fine.
Fuck. All right. It was Venus. Fucking force. God damn it. It's one of those where genuinely every Oscar that he could have won, it went to the right person. Much of the way I hate to say it. Now, I must say I loved him as Anton Ego in Ratatouille.
How have I not seen
that? I don't understand. My mom was like, I think Clarkson would like that because it's a cook and he's doing... And I was like, well, you should tell him that, Mom, because he won't laugh in your face if you say that. I say that. It'll, you know, Clarkson, you should see Ratatouille because, you know, culinary. You know, culinary is, you'd be like, shut the fuck up.
Shut up.
My mom says you'd be like...
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I should. I'll go rent it tonight.
Let's watch it together right now.
It's a delightful film. He plays Anton Ego, who's just this cock of a food critic, who basically just...
No. He plays a...
Food critic.
There we go.
Okay, there we go. A food critic. We need to get paid to be food critics.
We do.
International food critics.
Be a cock about everything else.
Yeah.
Except the food.
Yeah.
And the service.
Yeah. Yeah. This place looks like shit. The food, however, let's talk about that.
Yes.
They do an emulsion of, I don't know. I was going to try and go back on the Reuben thing from earlier. They do an emulsion of rye bread that's covered with the essence of pastrami. Right. It's unconventional. It's a deconstructionist take on the Reuben.
Yes.
They just bring you bags of meat and sauerkraut and say, there, that's deconstructed.
Good. How's
there
it that? Is. Here's a pile of cheese and a pile of meat, fatty. Need a fork? Fancy pants?
Dude, have you ever been to the bar Mr. Tramp's?
No.
It's trying far too hard to be fancy. It's one where like you order a sandwich and it comes out on a fucking rectangular plate that's like foot long and like...
Well, does this rectangular plate have a schmear of something?
No, it doesn't, thankfully.
Thank God.
The food is subpar, but at least it's overpriced.
Does it have... Does it have any what I call rim job garnish?
No, it does not.
Because I'm being snarky.
I know. Snarky. You're Nikki Fink. Look at you.
Yeah, look at me with the little fucking bullshit garnish on the edge of the plate.
I remember watching something with Emerald with you where he's like, he's going to dust the rim with essence. He's going to dust the rim with essence. And like, so isn't that thing's done? And you were like... Fucking school that I go to, if there is a goddamn speck of something on the rim of that plate, the fucking chef loses his mind on you.
They're not fond of that.
Yeah.
In the French tradition.
What on earth is this fanciness? But I did learn from you, apparently what the French chefs are big on is having a lot of bowls around them.
They do like that.
Yes, having bowls.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You know, back when you came over and cooked one time, when I fucking roped you into that shit, when I was like, I don't want to spend an evening with this broad. That I live with.
You have to have your mise en place, Jim.
Yeah.
To have it about you.
And you had all that shit set up and it's just shit in bowls everywhere.
So that you don't run around the goddamn kitchen like an idiot.
She got so mad at me over like learning how to cook shit from you. From watching you like figuring shit out. She's like, I want to show you how to cook all the time, but you just can't because Clarkson did it. And I was like, he's my oldest friend and I haven't talked to him in 6 years and here he is now. So yes, I'm excited.
And you. Ginger, I asked, do you like mushrooms? Yes. And then you picked them out.
Fucking daywalker that I was living with, man.
I'll never forget that.
Yes. Oh, man. You know what's weird? What does it say about the movie Stardust? That I have zero recollection of Peter O'Toole being in it.
I don't remember that at all.
All I remember is Michelle Pfeiffer on the poster of that movie. Fucking that. Talk about Beat Street.
Mm-hmm. Know what you're saying.
And I'm just going to throw that out there. You figure it out or you don't. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's all I know from that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrific.
Yeah. Nice. Michelle Pfeiffer has made a deal with someone.
Yeah. Yep.
She
made a deal with
really attractive.
Adrian Smed. The only thing that I look in here that I need to, like, I want to watch The Tudors because the idea of Peter O'Toole playing the Pope.
He was the Pope of The Tudors?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
I got to watch every bit of that.
Exactly. Pope Paul III.
Oh, my.
Yeah. That.
Fantastic.
Is genius. When I found out about that, I was like, I might have to watch this show. But it's another one of those from the History's All About Fucking series of movies.
Well, if you think that's bad, just remember Jeremy Irons and the Borgia.
Yeah, that's a. I understand the Borgia. Holy crap. That show, Borgia and Spartacus.
Spartacus.
Is just all boning. That's it. Just all fucking all the time.
That Spartacus thing just won't go away. I think it's finally finished now.
But yeah.
Man, that just went on. I haven't seen one second of it.
Yeah.
It just looks like how can we make 300 over and over again?
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know if you're a big fan of Spartacus out there.
Spartacus.
I don't know. So it may be great.
My problem with the Tudors is my Henry VIII is not John Rhys Meyers. It's John Rhys Davies. Did I get him right?
Wait.
No, it's not John Rhys Davies. It's John Rhys Meyers. Whoever played the...
John Rhys Meyers is...
Bad dates.
It's Davies.
Davies. Okay, yeah. John Rhys Davies. That is Henry VIII. He's a large carriaged man.
John Rhys Meyers. Yes, Dracula.
Yes.
Not so much Henry.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Henry VIII, what makes Henry VIII awesome is... Whenever I think Henry VIII, I picture fucking Richard Burton's entrance as Petruchio in Taming of the Shrew, where he just like storms it, just this big fat guy who's like, everything! I want all of it.
Yeah.
That's what I picture. So there. But yeah, it's a tricky one. Yeah, the Tudors, though, that's just one that is much to me like the Borgia, where it's like, oh, so it's historical drama without all the history getting in the way.
I don't get that in the way.
Yeah, fucking like everything that I see, I feel so bad for Lucrezia Borgia because she has just been demonized as this like, oh, she was this. Like, no, she was a like 13-year-old girl who just got passed around as a fucking like, oh, well, dear, have sex with my daughter. That will consolidate more power for us. More. She's 13. Have at her.
That's fine.
Everyone in history is gross.
Yes. Now you've learned.
Yeah, history is just full of gross people. Because it's like, I don't care how on she... Oh, she's hot. She's 13. No, she is not hot. She will be a lovely young lady someday.
She's hot when you're going to live to 30.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. When you and I are fucking Merlin's age, then...
Basically.
You know, yes. Then yes. 13, well, make hay. But... Yeah, it just grosses me out every time I see shit like oh, yeah.
What we're trying to say is, if you want to enjoy Peter O'Toole's films,
yes,
you need to watch Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah. Yeah. He's made a bunch of other good shit.
A lot.
But Lawrence of Arabia is one of those that so greatly overshadows everything else. I mean, seriously, this is I am trying to come up with an allegory, you know, a parallel that I can give to your first movie being your first film role being Lawrence in Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah,
I can't think of any. I mean, it's
not like that.
No, it really isn't. I mean, it literally is coming out of high school into the NFL and winning MVP and MVP of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's unfathomable that you could do something that amazing, that grandiose, that huge, that lasts that long. I mean, it's
going to be around
100
years from now and another 100 years.
Yeah. It's like the hockey player Mario Lemieux. He's the only guy who's got a higher scoring percentage than Wayne Gretzky. His first goal came from his first ever shot on goal in the NHL. He literally stepped out on the ice, they passed to him, boom, scored. That is akin, except imagine if he'd hit a hat trick in the next five games. That is the enormity of what he brought with this. What's funny to me is how this show, as much as we talked about Peter O'Toole,
it ain't the film smarts.
No, it ain't. We dumb. We so dumb. So, honestly, if you guys liked what happened at the beginning of this, fire in a fucking email with some questions and shit like that on it, and you will get more of this comedy gold that we are so keen on delivering to y'all every week.
Bitch, you're not a hobbit, right?
We're gonna be the Obama of podcasts.
Yeah, we are gonna be the Obama
meme of... coming almost immediately.
Yes, yes.
That's I'm gonna go out and say it. We're the Obama of podcasts. Yes. That's it.
Well, although
drop
we
this microphone,
we have to be more like Kanye. We're the Obama of audio.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
Obamio.
Obamio. Yes. So, if you're buying last minute Christmas presents like I do, you need to go to the Film Thugs and click through Amazon and buy them there. Also, buy shirts from T Fury. I'm wearing one right now.
It's lovely.
It is wonderful. It quite is. So we got that. We got the T-shirts. Shit from On It. All
yep,
that.
So you can get bigger. That you can't walk around comfortably in Taco Land.
It's great. Yeah. It's fantastic. So. Call us at 512-666-RANT and tell us a story, or call us at the_film_thugs on the Skype. We're also thefilmthugs@gmail.com if you'd like to send us something to spur discussion on our show, or if you'd like to send us an anonymous question, not an anonymous question, a question that we will do as part of our never read before question show, Ask the Film Thugs. It is thugquestions@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Donate money to a charity. Doesn't matter which one it is. We prefer the Muscular Dystrophy Association because we are affected because a really awesome kid we know has muscular dystrophy. Yeah. So give money. See the info on our website. It's Amadeo's Army. Join that shit. Be part of that shit. Twitter and Facebook as per usual. And check out some other awesome podcasts like, you know, The Stinking Paws, United States Geekdom, Midnight Movie Cowboys, folks like that who are friends of the show, The Amp. Oh. Mm. Rest in peace, Amp. So I think that about sums it up. So until next week, don't.
I'm sick and tired of hearing about what a great hockey team the Soviets have. Screw them. This is your time. Now go out there and take it.